Okay, we have a lot to get to this week and Mr. Shem next week. I apologize, last week we missed, which is a rare occurrence here, definitely in the Shurim, but sometimes it happens. But we were talking about a few weeks ago, we're in the middle of the topic of lefties and halacha. What do lefties need to know about halachic procedures and different halachic situations? So we're holding now on the sheet that says Iter Yad Ba'alocha Chelik Beis. Hopefully we'll get to the sheet that says Chelik Gimel as well. And believe it or not, there's a sheet that says Chelik Dalet, which I don't know if we're going to get to tonight. So we were talking a little bit about weddings. We talked about this before. People were making weddings. Now, Baruch Hashem, we're past the 3 weeks nowadays. Now people are making weddings. So we were discussing last week how to situate the chasana and the kala. So I was at a chasana last night. It was actually very funny. I was at a chasana. And I wasn't officiating, someone else was officiating, a chosh of a person. And I'm watching that the chosim, you know, does his thing. He's standing. First of all, his back is towards the crowd, which is not crazy because Yekis do it that way. But he's standing and the girl is on the wrong side. The girl's on the wrong side. So I turn to another person. I say, he's on the wrong side. So the guy's like, should we do something about it? I said, don't worry, they'll still be married. It's not ma'akev the chalois. Because we saw last week that the Berhetiv brings down a practice that he's supposed to have the cow on the right side of the chosim. That's the tradition. Even though we did point out that there were those that held up pi Kabbalah after Churban Beis Hamikdash, it should be reversed. But most communities, the Aruch HaShulchan brought it down. I think most, for sure non-Hasidic communities, and this was not a Hasidic couple, any stretch of the means, the Kal was on the right side of the boy. So then I was just watching, and all of a sudden I saw the Masada Kedushin rearranged everyone and got everyone where they were supposed to be. So most of the Chas, right, Ronnie, by Yekis, right, they fast, their back is to the crowd, right, their back is to the crowd. Right, they say, because they used to get married in a shul, maybe, and their back was to the arm, but I don't believe that's true, because again, Hungarians for sure didn't get married in shuls, they were against it, and we had a discussion once about getting married in shuls. But in any case, today everyone stands in front of the audience, it's a whole procedure, so I was happy to see that the Masada Taka rearranged the boy and the girl to make everyone on the right side. Okay, fine. Now again, it's not ma'akiv, they'll still be very married, it doesn't really make a difference. So we were discussing a little bit last week, should it matter if the boy's a lefty or a righty? And maybe if the boy's a lefty, maybe then we should put the kal on his left side. So that's what we saw last week from, I think everyone is in agreement that that does not matter. It's always going to be the kal on the right side, even if the boy's a lefty, the boy, it doesn't matter. The kal should always be on his right side. Next time you go to a wedding, you'll, again, as I always point out, most of the weddings that we go to that are not, let's say, out of city or out of state, usually in Williamsburg or the local halls, it's led by the hall already knows all the halachas. They know exactly what to do. They'll tell you how to run the wedding. The rabbi is just there for the pictures. They know these guys, they run these weddings. They do 5 a week. They know exactly how to do the weddings. So they'll tell the chassan where to go, the kala where to go. But if you do, let's say, a wedding, let's say, out of town, you go to a hotel somewhere, so they're not really that familiar with weddings, then the rabbi really has to work. The masada really has to, tell everyone what to do. But next time you're at a chassan, you'll pay attention to it. The kala is always going to be on the right side of the chassan, and even if he's a left. That's what we came out with last week. So now we're going to pick up a little bit. Source number 8, what about the giving of the ring? We all know that one of the most important parts of the entire wedding is the nesinas atabas from the boy to the girl. The last couple of chasanas I've been to, I got the kibbut of 8. Okay, 8 kiddushin is taka choshev kibbut, not that I deserve it, but I got stuck with it. And sometimes you got to be careful that there's so many people under the chuppah. You got the photographer, you got the rabbi. If you don't see the nesinas atabas, you didn't do your job. So I was at this chasana last night, and they were giving the ring, and I was almost missed it. So the way I was situated between the photographer and the masadra and the girls, the kala's father, I barely got to see. So someone realized, like, we got to see this. If we don't see this, we're in big trouble. So if you get that job, you got to make sure you're watching the nesinas atabas from the boy to the girl.
So I'm not trying to make it fun, but so if the eidim don't see it,
yeah,
exactly the case, do you do it again?
Yeah, you would have to do it again. The Eidei Kedushin are the ones who make the marriage. If they don't see the giving of the ring, it doesn't work. So it's a real problem. So you got to make sure. Problem is now there's a whole party under the chuppah now. You got so many people standing under there. There's no room for everyone. So I was trying to, I don't want to box out people, but you got to get in there to see what was going on. I almost missed it last night. It wasn't, you don't look quick enough. It's gone. It's on her finger already. So you could have to do it again. So Baruch Hashem, I was able to catch it right before. So we'll get to it. So the question is, which hand does the boy give the girl the ring? Now again, none of this really matters terribly, which hand he gives it to her and which hand she accepts it. But once we're discussing lefties, we'll go through it. So let's take a look at number 8. Bottom right corner, page Iter Yad Ba'alocha. Writes the Berhetiv. Tahainu kara lebeis edim, you call over 2 edim. Umar lahem atabas kedushin. and they show them the ring, imishava pruta. So again, there's different ways Rabbanim do this, but if you ever been to a chasana, so there's two ways Mesadri Kedushin run their show. One way, which is the way I prefer and the way I like, I think is more accepted in Halacha, is before he does any of the brachas, he has a meeting with the Edim, and he tells the Edim, okay, are you related to each other? That's a classical question. They ask the Edim, are you related to each other? Because then you're pasul. Then they ask the Edim, are you related to the boy or the girl? The answer is usually no, and then we move on. Then they ask the boy, where's the ring? So they look at it, they show the ring, and they make the Edim look at the ring, and the Edim confirm that the ring is worth a shava pruta. Usually the Masada Kedushin will ask the boy, did you buy the ring? Is it your ring? We had a share about this a few years ago, a wild story where Basha Weiss talks about in the Sefer. An amazing story that you have to at least mention because it happened. The Maisa goes like this. There was once at a Shabbos Sheva Brachos, Friday night, the Chassan was talking to his sister. And he realized that the night before he got married, and he gave his ring that he was going to give to his Kala under Chuppah to his sister to hold. Then, by the time the sister gave him back the ring, she gave the wrong ring. She gave her ring back to her brother instead of his ring that he gave to her. So the ring that he gave to his Kala under the Chuppah was not his own ring. It was his sister had borrowed a ring. So that now they realize that the Shabbos Sheva Brachos the next day, they realize, Oyvei, we might not really be married. Because the ring that he gave didn't belong to him. It belonged to his sister. And being that his sister never had Daat to be maknet to him, because the sister thought it was his ring, so he technically was Mekadosh and Isha with a ring that's not his. So they're not married. So if they're not married, the whole Shabbos Sheva Brachos is a scam. So, right. So that was Rav Moshe Weiss works through the tshuva to come up. Maybe we can come up with other options. Maybe you could say they're Mekadosh Bebiya. But if anyone is familiar with young couples, very rarely is that ever the case, at least the first couple nights after they get married. Not always are they what they call to consummate the marriage. So that's why, so Rav Moshe Weiss discusses, maybe they can use the shtar, the ksuba as kedusha shtar. Which is why now there's this new minhag, which I'm not a big fan of, is they make the Edom watch the chos and give the kalal the ksuba. That's another new popular thing. It's another thing that I get stuck with Edom Kedusha. I got to watch that also. Why does the chos have to watch the kalal to give a ring? Give the ksuba. The ksuba is a shtar choif. Again, if Reuven borrows money from Shimon, they write an IOU. You have to have two Edom watch the Mesiris Ashtar? Of course not. You have to have two Edom sign on the paper. So what's this new thing that we have to have the two Edom watch the giving over of the ksuba? And it's becoming very popular now. You go to chasanos, you'll watch it. I don't get it. So they want to say, I think Rav Moshe Weiss said this then, because maybe you're going to tell me you're going to use the ksuba as a backup shtar. So shtar, you need to have two Edom. But Rav Moshe Weiss bavorns, there's problems with using the ksuba as a shtar. Shtar says, we looked this when we did Kedushin, the first parak, it says the words Hariat Mekudeshes in the shtar. It doesn't say that in the ksuba. It doesn't say anywhere in the ksuba, I'm going to marry you. It says that I'm going to promise to feed you and I'll do this, that, and the other. So it's very, very... So Rav Moshe Weiss talks about what do you do in that case. It's a wild case. I remember the first time I was ever Masada, so I asked my Rebbe, who was Masada probably thousands of times, so what's the most important thing I have to know? So I thought he would tell me some major halacha. He said, the most important thing you have to know is make sure the chassan knows where the ring is. He says he's been at chassan so many times where they get under the chuppah and they go to the chassan, and where's the ring? I don't know. And they start playing, I don't know, you're checking. Right, it gets complicated. So, you know, that was his rule to me. Just make sure you know the ring is. So, the ring is an important thing. So they always ask the boy, is the ring yours? So the boy says, yes. So I was at a chasana outside, the Masada Kedushin was trying to make some jokes. So he says to me, it's yours, you don't have a job. Says, of course it belongs to your father. You don't have any money that's yours. I didn't think now was the time to crack jokes under the chuppah, but okay, that's my personal opinion. So they asked these types of questions. Did the boy make hagbah on the ring? How did he pay for the ring? All these different questions. So now that we have that, so that's all what they do with the Edom. So a lot of times the Rabbanim do is they make the first brach, they make Birchas Eirusin, and then they start doing all this talking. So that's really a hefsek. Because the Birchas Eirusin is a bracha right before you do the Kedushin. So it's like making a bracha, having a 10-minute pause, and then doing the actual mitzvah. So they tell you, no, it's all a tzairich. Yeah, but you could do it before also for the same price. So I don't exactly understand why they do that. At this chasa last night, I was waiting for this to happen. They called up the Mesader, and the Mesader Kedushin is under the chuppah, and I said to myself, they never called up the Eid Kedushin. What's the Masada going to do without Eid Kedushin? I knew I was going to be an Eid because the guy told me I'm going to be an Eid. So I didn't say anything because I know eventually they'll get to us. But they're supposed to call up everyone in one shot, the Masada with the Eid Kedushin. Just to call up a Masada gets you only halfway because then you still don't have anything without the Eid Kedushin. So that's a rookie mistake, whoever was doing the calling up. Then the other thing that you should, again, this is, we discussed this probably in other shurim, but if you ever go to a chasan and you're under the chuppah and you get to watch what's going on, so you can see two things about the Masada Kedusha. You can see who he's a Talmud of. So first way you could tell if he's a Talmud of Rabbi Soloveitchik had a a halacha that he used to always make the chas and say that these are the edim and everyone else is not the edim, to the exclusion of everyone else. So you can always tell who's the Talmud of Rabbi Soloveitchik when he does that. That's great. Today the Mesarjim are Talmidim of Rabbi Soloveitchik. They're making the rabbis much younger. Those guys were not Talmidim of Rabbi Soloveitchik. They weren't alive when Rabbi Soloveitchik was saying, sure, they're Talmidim of Rabbi Soloveitchik. That's one way you could tell. I rather don't say that. My Rebbe holds that you don't have to say that, but that's famous from Rabbi Soloveitchik. And the other way to tell who's your Mesarjim is a brisker or not. If you want to know if your Masada is a brisker, how could you tell if your Masada is a brisker? If he takes a little bit from the kais, because we mentioned there's a kasha from the Pnei Yeshua, that what happens? The guy, the Masada Kedusha makes the Bayi Priya Gafen, then he makes the Bracha Brichas Avison, and then the Chasen and the Kala drink. Whenever do you find that you make a Bayi Priya Gafen and someone else drinks? So we know, and this is the amazing thing, we know Reb Chaim, when he was Masada, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, when he was Masada, he used to try to spill some on his fingers and drink a little bit. How do we know that? We don't know that from Reb Chaim. We know from the Dayan and Brisk. There was a famous Dayan and Brisk. Simcha Zelig was the Dayan and Brisk. He was murdered by the Nazis terribly. We spoke about it once before. So he told the Welt that Reb Chaim had this Hakpada. So that's why, you know, today, if you watch the Masada Kedushin, they put their fingers to their lips. That's because they're trying to be Mekayim this Reb Chaim. So that's usually a telltale sign that your Masada Kedushin is a brisker or a wannabe brisker, or one or the other. But something you should know.
Why can't they just do it
out to Din of Arvus? Yeah, there's a Bnei Yeshua, has a whole Sikkot Torah. He wants to be Miyashiv, it's not a Kasha. But again, Arvus usually doesn't work for Bracha Rishayna. Bracha Rishayna, Arvus works for mitzvahs, not for Bracha Rishayna.
Because,
I don't know, that's a mitzvah. That's a Berchas HaMitzvah, it's a Berchas HaNenen. Say, how can I make a Berchas? No, Bayi Priya Gafen is a Berchas HaNenen.
Yeah, but you're doing it
together
with the city
Kedusha. Yeah, the question is, what? It's not, the Bayi Priya Gafen is still going to be a Berchas HaNenen. The question is, what's the role of the Berchas, that Bayi Priya Gafen in the city Kedusha? That's the question. That might be part of the Teretz. Meaning, what you're saying is that Bayi Priya Gafen is a central part of the mitzvah. Right. That, listen, where that comes from. That's on the right path. That's the answer. It's part of the mitzvah, but it needs a little bit more heads. But yeah, that's basically what people do. Okay, this was.
I remember, by the way, by my chassid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had an uncle of mine who was the first overseas rebbe in Kerem Yavne. He was actually Rabbi Willig Senior's rebbe in the '50s, the late '50s.
Yeah.
So he was on the chuppah. I don't remember if he had the first rabbi or whatever. Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum was Masada. So he was driving Reb Shmuel crazy that he should drink. Reb Shmuel says, I am not a brisker. You know what I'm saying?
Altamirs wouldn't go for stuff like this.
No,
Altamirs are too conventional. But in any case, okay, so we got a little sidetracked over here. But let's go back to the Berhetiv. Again, some of the stuff you get to see when you're under a chuppah, you know, it's sometimes interesting what's going on. In any case, most people have no idea what goes on under the chuppah. They're usually like 12 rows behind on their phone. They don't even care. They just wait for the glass and they scream Mazel Tov and they're good to go. But it's interesting, some of the inner circle working, the inner workings of what goes on under a chuppah. I said this over, we had a share many months ago, maybe years ago, we talked about using a microphone under the chuppah. So Rabbi Willig has the best line. I love this line. He says, when he first started, he said he was the youngest person under the chuppah. Right, he was a young Rav, so he never wanted to make such a fight about the microphone. He says, now he's the oldest person under the chuppah. He's older than the chassan's parents and the kallah's parents. He says he doesn't feel embarrassed anymore to stand his ground and say we don't use a microphone. It's an interesting idea. I like that idea. So I guess I'm still younger that I don't make such a rash about these things. But, what? Because the question is, if the microphone, can you answer Amen to a microphone? Is it really considered the real voice or not? Right, so that's the answer. They always say you have at least 10 people that heard it. That's the classical answer that most Rabbanim work with. That there's at least 10 people who heard it without the microphone, so you're good to go. That's usually the answer. But again, I'm only mentioning this to you because if you go to chassid, you wonder, why is there no microphone? So sometimes the microphone doesn't work, or someone's not doing a good job, but sometimes there's a cheshbin where the bedavka don't use a microphone because they want to be machmir. If you don't use a microphone, everyone will be talking during the chuppah, that's for sure. If you don't use a microphone, you hear what's going on, they'll all be talking, and you'll lose the credit. Okay, so back to the Berhetiv. So the Berhetiv writes, so the Edom have to look at the ring, and the Edom have to know that the ring is worth a Shava Pruta. So he writes over here, so the rabbi, again, now it's no longer the rabbi who's Masada Kedushin. We spoke about this before. I don't want to get into it now. Why is it now Rabbein that are Masada Kedushin instead of Rabbonim who used to be Masada Kedushin? Okay, we spoke about this when we had a share on Sidi Kedushin. So they ask him if it's worth a Shavapruta, and he answers it's worth a Shavapruta. Writes the Berhetiv. He says, V'aramins kosa b'zeh loshin mara hat tabas le'edim. They gotta see, the Edom have to actually see the giving of the ring from the boy to the girl. It should be his right to her right. So every Masada always tells the boy, make sure you put the ring on her right finger. Which finger? Writes the Berhetiv. Ube'emtza hasomuch legoidam. The finger next to the thumb. In English, that's called the index finger, if I'm not mistaken. So you put it on the index finger. Shenikra etzva yosem atabas. Okay, so that's what you're supposed to put. So every Masada Gushan always tells the boy, put the ring on her index finger. Which hand? So the Berhetiv says, he puts it from his right hand onto her right hand. So writes the Berhetiv. What happens if one of the two of them are lefties? So I've been to a bunch of chasanas lately, and the Masada Gushan never asks if he or she is a lefty. I don't know, it's strange to me. We'll see, the place can talk about it. Why don't you at least ask? Grado, I was at a chasana 2 weeks ago, where I know the chasana was a close Talmud of mine. I know he's a lefty. And the Masada Gedushin didn't even bother asking if he's a lefty. I don't know. Again, none of these things really matter, so that's probably why the Masada Gedushin don't ask it. But it is a shayla. Which hand would a lefty put on, and what happens if the girl's a lefty? What happens if the boy's a lefty? So let's take a look over at number 9, in the Debrit Sina Rav. So the Debrecina Rav writes this. He says, "Avo beinyan nisinas atabas dechosan al etzba akala shadin sheitim biadimina al etzba yimanis." This din of the Berhetiv who says you put it from his right hand to her right hand, b'zeh hadas noited aslinam bosed hitu. There it makes sense that we should work with them. Meaning, them who iter, if he's a lefty or he itris or she is a lefty, yitim biyamindi day al yamindi do. And you should use the left. He says, yeah, but today, a lot of the girls, they wear, even if they're lefty, they'll wear it on their right finger anyways. That's where they will wear the ring. Okay, nearly aloch lemaisa, but vim beemes darka liten al smol da alma. But let's say Shitaka wears her rings on her left hand, oz yiten al smol lo. Then Shitaka should put it on her left hand. Now it's interesting, I don't have it on my Yotzei HaChachma. There's a very two volume, very classical sefer called Nisuim Kehilchasam. Anyone ever asked to run a chasana, it's a good sefer to buy. So he quotes over there from Rebbe Eliashiv, that Rebbe Eliashiv also assumes that for a lefty, you put the ring on her left hand. 100%. Now what happens if the boy's a lefty? So there he quotes from both Rebbe Eliashiv and of Chaim Kanievsky, that if the boy's a lefty, he should use his left hand to give the ring. But then he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that even if the boy's a lefty, he still should use his right hand. Then they quote from the Klausenberger, who says you should use both hands, which I have never seen that before. Use both. The ring is so small, both hands around the ring. I don't know. So again, I'm just telling you, I've been to a bunch of chasanas, and I haven't yet seen the Masada Kedushin bother asking, oh, is he a lefty or she a lefty? They just go on with the process. Now, why is that? Because we have the Aruch HaShulchan. If the Aruch HaShulchan writes, he says that it's brought down lahasim atabas al etzba somech lagudo medina ink paid bezer. It doesn't really matter which finger you put it on, even though the Berhetiv writes supposed to put it on her index finger, and let's say you put it on her middle, let's say you put it on her palm, let's say she'd still be married. But again, the minhag today is that we do put it on the girl's index finger. Every Masada Gedushin tells the boy to tell her to stick out her index finger. Very good. But no one ever seems to be bothered if he's a lefty or she's a lefty. But again, in the poiskim, it seems like it should matter, at least maybe on a lechatchila level, to find out if the chasan's a lefty and if or the kal is a lefty as well. Okay, that's just with regard to the chasan. Let's move on now to something different. Source number 11. Says, again, I tried to get in everything except for Choshe Mishpat, in all the other Chalke Shulchan Aruch, I tried to find something that talks about lefties. So we did Yaradeh with the mezuzah, now we did Evan Ezra with the wedding, now we can go back to Archaim. I'm sure there's something in Choshe Mishpat, I just don't know it, but if anyone's aware of anything in Choshe Mishpat that it matters if you're lefty or righty, it would be interesting to know. Okay, number 11. Says the Mechaber, Hilchas Abdullah. This is great. Says the Mechaber, Noigim List. Could be, again. My Amaratzis is shining very clearly here. It's very possible. Could be a million things in Kinyan. Yeah, I'm sure in Kinyan. I'm sure it could be in Kinyan. It makes a lot of it. How do you do a Maisa Kinyan? How do you do all these things? It's very possible. Okay. I'm hoping one of our thousands of listeners will let me know that I don't know anything about Chayshim Mishpat and make me feel better.
I think when you sell the Rav the Chametz, I don't know if you do this, I think he tells you lift it with your right hand.
Oh, yeah?
I remember.
Yeah, but again, that Kenyan, right, again, that Kenyan is really extra credit.
No.
The pasuk says you don't even need a Maisa Kenyan. You can get away with just the Sinas HaRishus. But again, in Choshe Mishpat, I'm sure there are tons and tons of Maisa Kenyan that are legit, that need to maybe be done with a certain hand, one over the other. Maybe Meshichad, where you pull something, you need to do it, right? Again, I'm hoping someone knows more about Choshe Mishpat. I know for sure many people know more about Choshe Mishpat than I do, that can fill us in on that bit of information. But then we'd have to do a part 5, and I don't think people want that. Okay, so let's go to number 11. Says the Mechaber, Hilchas Havdalah. This is a great halacha, because it's one of those things people know very little bit about. right? Everyone knows when you get to Avdol, there's this, the Boyer Meir Eish thing. So everyone puts their hands up. No one exactly knows what they're doing, why they're doing it, but everyone does it. So let's try to understand what's going on. It says the Mechaber, Noigim lehistakel bekapoy sayedaim with spernaim. You're supposed to look or stare. Histaklus is not, is more than just looking. Histaklus is a deep look. Mara means to look. You gaze. Histaklus is what we'd call in English to stare. So says the Mechaber, Noigim is a practice lehistakel bekapoy sayedaim. The palms of your hands, ubit spernaim, and your fingers. You're supposed to look at those things. Writes the Rambam, v'yesh lirois bitziporne yad yamin. You should look at your right hand, and hold the cup in your left hand, and then do the Havdalah, do the Eish with your right hand. So writes the Rambam. Then he writes, you should bend your fingers into your hand. When you go like this, you kill two birds with one stone. Because if you have to look at the nail and the back of the hand, it's almost impossible. But when you go like this, you bend it over, now you get both. That's why we bend it over, so you can get both. He writes, says Mr. Brew, what's this all about? Hatam, what's the reason? Because the purpose is we want to know that the fire is somewhat beneficiary. You're getting some form of hanno out of it. You can tell that it's giving off light. That you can tell the difference between one coin and another coin. Somehow telling the difference between the nail and the flesh would be the same way of being able to tell between a quarter and a nickel. So you can go like this and see, oh, that's nail, that's finger. That's enough light that you're sufficient. I don't know. I don't know why they don't go back to the old school. I guess they didn't have those. I guess usually in Avdol time, no one's carrying money with them. I don't know. Interesting. We'll talk. Belineda, I hope to have a bunch of shurim after this, all about cutting nails. Which when we get to the topic, I'll explain to you why I'm doing it during Chodesh El. There's a reason. We'll get to it. Belineda says the Mishnah that tzipurnayim are a simen bracha. So again, fingernails are a very tricky thing. There's good and bad to them. Right? We assume that there's a negativity to them because when you cut your nail, you have to wash your hands. There's tumah. There's dangerous. People can step on them, which we'll get to. Belineda, he writes, but they're also good because they represent perivrivia. Right, the nails grow. So it represents multiplying. That's why we look at our fingernails on Matzah Shabbos. Amazing. The gam mistaklin the kapas yadayim shiyad b'shertute hayad simen lizbar. Okay, and there's something good about the palm. That's why we look over here. So what do I want with this? Well, what about if you're a lefty? Should you then look at your left hand first instead of your right hand? So again, it might depend on which hand you're holding the cup, right? Again. Ah, that's where we get on the next page. Which hand does the lefty hold the cup? But says the Aruch HaShulchan over here.
Why wouldn't they start with the cup? Which is the beginning of the Avdol.
Right. So the assumption is that you were holding it in your right hand, and now you get to the fire, it sounds like you're going to switch it, and then go like that. That's what it sounds like from the Ramah. So it sounds like you're consciously switching your hand so you can do the right hand first.
That's the right. You go from the right to the left.
That's what it sounds like, yes. Yeah, so if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he writes, Umin Hoge Yisrael Teiru. Jewish traditions are Teiro, umiyusar al pi azoya, and this is based on azoya. V'nira dirak biyad yamin yaso kol eilo v'loy b'hasmoilis. And therefore, right to our chazochin, you should only use your right hand and not your left hand. So again, according to this, you should only taka choose the right hand when you're doing havdalah, not the left. That's what our chazochin says. Now, if you take a look over number 14, I quoted over here from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, where he quotes from the Leket Yoisha. The Leket Yoisha was a Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshah. Trumas Hadeshah lived in the 15th century. So he writes that the Trumas Hadeshah had an interesting practice by Havdol. Now, how many people by Havdol do both hands? Everyone. Right. But even the people that are not holding a cup, right? Everyone does both hands, right? But it sounds like from the Aruch HaShulchan that we shouldn't be using our left hand. So why does everyone do both hands? Because everyone knows this Leket Yoisha. The Leket Yoisha writes, number 14, U'gishehizchel habrocha mimoira ish roye b'tziparin shoyat smoil. He had an interesting practice. The Trumas Hadeshah would switch off. He would first, in the beginning, use his left hand. Use the left hand. Ad shebol ha-melucha, middle of the bracha. Ve'achakach lokach ha-kois bi'atzmol, then he would switch. U'mistalka b'tzipur shayad yamin. And then he would go over to his right hand. I'm just trying to mute it. And then he would go over to his right hand and look at it that way. So he would taka do both. He would start off with the left, and then switch over middle to the right. That was the practice of the Leket Yoisha. So he writes on the bottom over here, and that's the way Shmuel Kamenetsky does it as well. He starts off with the left, and then he switches over to the right. But according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it sounds like it should only be the right hand. But again, Today, most people do not follow that. They use both hands. That's correct, yeah. So this also comes up for b'samim. How do you do b'samim? So I put the kais down. Some people switch it to the other hand, so they have it in the other hand. Yeah, I just put it down. I think the Aruch HaShulchan writes like that. I remember I got it from... Right. So I guess this is a right that maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I shouldn't put it down. Okay, it's a good point. Let's switch gears a little bit now. Let's talk to tefillin. Tefillin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is an interesting halacha / practice that a lot of people are not familiar with. Writes the Mishnah Berurah. He says over here, V'yesh me'achachomim sho'yinoyim lachwes ha'tfilin sho'roish b'yatzmo. There are those, he calls them chachomim, that have a practice that when they take off their tefillin after davening, they take off their tefillin with their left hand. Why? Because that's their weaker hand. L'harois to show shekosha olav chalitzasin. You're trying to show that it's hard for me to, I don't want to take off my tefillin. I'm not rushing to take off my tefillin. So you use the more, like we had similar when you take the 3 steps back. Remember we learned that you take your left foot first to show that I don't want to do it. So here also writes Mishnah Berurah, when you take off your tefillin, you should take your tefillin off with your weaker hand. Now, what's the obvious question? Let's say you're a lefty. And you take off your tefillin with your right hand because so this is a very easy halacha. This is all about stronger and weaker. Therefore, writes the Mishnah Berurah, the lefty takes it off with the right hand, the righty takes it off with the left hand. This is an interesting halacha. You see a lot of people not makbid on. I'm not really sure why. Is it because lack of knowledge or just rush to leave? Again, it's such an easy thing to do. It's like, it's easy. So halacha nice, Mr. Buri writes, we should try to take off our tefillin with our left hand. Now, when we put the tefillin in the bag, which side does which tefillin go? So if I polled 100 people, and I asked them, where do you put your shayyad, where do you put your shayrosh in the bag? What's the answer? Shayrosh on the right, shayyad on the left, right? I think I'd get 100% response. It's not what the Mr. Buri says. That's why I love it. Is every once in a while you come across a Mishnah Berurah that just the velt doesn't do. It's okay, it's not a kasha. Take a look at number 16. It says the Mishnah Berurah. He quotes in the Sefer Shulchan Shleima, the toiv shiyu atfilin shayad bitzad yemin shalatik. The tefillin shayad should be on the right side. Gam kei mitamze. He writes that Yishtaka have the tefillin shayad on the right side. And the shosh, I guess his cheshbon is that when you open, again, you have to remember with their bag like us, we have a zipper. I said, when you zip it, how's it go? When you zip it, takes you all the way to the right, right?
Right, to close it.
Right, to close it, right. So again, he writes, and the Shulchan Shlomo writes that you put the shayyad on the right side. His cheshmo is that somehow you'll go there naturally first. We have the tefillin shayyad on the left side. Right? Again, you want to grab the shayyad first, because if not, you're going to run into problems of if you grab the first one first, you're going to have to know, can you be mavir and alamitzvus? We put on the shayyad and then the shalrosh. So if you grab the shalrosh first, you run yourself into a little bit of a problem. So we want to make sure you always grab the shayyad first. So somehow he figures that if you put the shayyad on the right side, I guess your hand will go that way. So the question is, let's say you're a lefty. Do you assume that if you're a lefty, you're going to grab the other way? Do you have to switch it around? But it's not negay, because no one does it like this. So if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, I found the Aruch HaShulchan writes, no. He says, L'chei minogeinu shenoisim shteim b'kis echad, u'menichim b'kis ha-shalroish mi'min ha-kis, v'shayan mi'smoiloi, v'oysa tomit kein. We always do left and we do it the other way around. I don't know, Mr. Burr says it should be the, unless, could be maybe they didn't have a separate designated tefillin bag like we have today. I don't know, I'm not sure. But in any case, Mr. Burr sounds like you should put the tefillin shal yad on the right side and the shalroish on the left side. We don't do that. Okay, so Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt addresses that question.
Yeah. Because the
shayyad is more. No, it has to do with which hand you're going to grab at first. It's not a question of chashivas. Okay, let's move on to the next page. And this is really getting us into a big discussion over here about which hand would you hold the kashal bracha. Many times we hold what's called the kashal bracha. Let's say, for example, Kiddush, Havdalah, if you bench ala kais, Sheva brachas, under a chuppah, dal kaises, right? These are all what we call today kashal bracha. Now, which hand do you hold the kashal bracha? So if you take a look over here on the next side, source number 19, Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Pei Gimel, writes the Mechaber. Mikabloi b'shtei yod. You're actually supposed to take the cup and accept it in two hands. If you ever watch sometimes people and they give you the cup, they give it to you in a way that you can hold it in two hands. U'kishemask levarach noitle b'yiminoi. But when you start to make the bracha, you should then hold it only in your right hand. V'lo yisayeh v'smol. And the left hand should not even help. Which means you shouldn't have it in a way that you're holding it on your right hand, and let's say you're holding your left hand around the cup itself. The left hand can't touch the cup at all. Very interesting stuff. Writes the Rambam, v'hainu davka shleitiga ha-smoil b'kais. That just means that the left hand can't touch the cup. Avol noisin ha-smoil tachashim, and let's say it's a very heavy cup. So sometimes you have a shayla, let's say, for example, you have an elderly person. It's hard for them to hold the cup. So they're going to hold it with two hands. So they're going to hold the cup in their right hand, and the left hand is giving it extra support. So the Ramah says that's fine because the left hand is not touching the cup. But if they'd have it holding in their right hand, and then they'd have their left hand holding the middle of the cup, that would be a problem.
What?
That's what he says of it. The left hand can't touch the cup. Okay? So then he writes, that's okay. Now,
A lot of curses are flat on the bottom. Has a step.
So those are two different shayla. Those are two different ways of how to hold the curse.
I've got to hold it on the bottom.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I hold it on the left so it doesn't tip over.
All right. That's tamazei shayla. How to hold the kashal bracha? Do you hold it like this or do you hold it in the palm? That's tamazei an alter shayla. No. I'm talking about where the left hand comes in. But this is a general question. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch where you hold the cup. I'm just saying the way I hold it in my palm. Many people hold it like this, right? Different minhagim, but they're both fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, there might be a practicality.
I could do that.
There's different arguments. Some people hold the case like that, sure.
There's two different arguments.
Some they put it like that, but there's two different arguments. Many people hold the cup with their fingers around it. I think that's the more Hasidic way of doing it, with the fingers around the cup, something special about it. Okay. There you go. That's it. That's a minute already. So then he writes over here a whole list of rules of how to hold a kashal bracha. Umagbiya me'akarka tefach. He's supposed to lift a tefach off the ground. Imu yoshev, if you're sitting, agabi karkev. Umu meisev b'shoch. Magbiya, okay, good. V'noisen einav bo. You're supposed to look into the cup. Shalei seich daitoi. Then you look at, that's right, you're supposed to glance into the candles. Then you have another problem. If you're makbid, we talked about this many, many years ago. If you're makbid to say vayichulu from a sitter. Friday night we make Kiddush, and the Kiddush we say Friday night, we say Vayichulu. Vayichulu is Psukim in the Torah. We have ruled Dvarim Shebechsav Yeter Rashon Lom Amal Peh. We're not allowed to really write, say Psukim by heart. So some people have a practice that when they say Vayichulu Friday night, they take a read it inside from the Siddur. They know to avoid this Shailu. Other Achrayim Amiyam, Malam Etzchus, why it's not a problem. But in any case, some people attack a Makbid, not because they don't know the words, but because they're Makbid for this Halach of Dvarim Shebechsav Yeter Rashon Lom Amal Peh. You look at the candles because the Gemara says that it's supposed to help for eyesight reasons. I think that's why we look at the candles, if I'm not mistaken.
Why do you have to do it?
Vayichulu?
How does it help by a bench or a sitter if you should have to do it from a chumash?
No, that's ksav. That's written down. Baal Peh, we're always afraid.
So it doesn't make a difference where you
do. Yeah. You ever listen to little kids sing songs? That's the way the Tosafot Rid learns in Megillah. Why are you not allowed to say things? But ever listen to the way kids sing songs?
Yeah, they have all the words wrong.
They have all the words wrong. Why are they the words wrong? Because they never saw the words, they heard the words. So when you hear words, you sometimes botch the words. So if you're going to say Pesukim of the Torah by hearing it, you're going to botch up a Pesuk, right? Loi Signov is going to be with the Vav instead of the Aleph, right? The famous Vav from the Sfasamis, right? So it's a risky move to hear things by ear. So, but again, we had this share many years ago. This is one of the first shiurim we probably had where we talked about this idea of getting around it. But yeah. You're supposed to look at the candles, you're supposed to look in the cup, some people look at Vayichulu. By the time you're done, it's a tricky process. Then he writes over here, Valkane looking, okay, good. Umishagroi leishtoi. You're also supposed to make sure to send the cup over to your wife. Every Kaishal Bracha, there's an Indian to send it over to your wife. Okay, maybe one day we'll have a whole shiur just on the topic of Kaishal Bracha. It's a very interesting topic. Good. But that's what the Mechaber says. Mechaber says, you hold the Kaishal Bracha in your right hand. Now, whenever you come across such a halacha, what's always the follow-up? And what if you're left? Yisrael Mechaber does us a great favor. He writes, Yesh Misha Omer. What does that sound like? Yesh Misha Omer? Someone says. Now what? She'im ha-mevarich iter. If the guy making the bracha is a lefty, oiches ha-kois bi-minoi, he should hold the cup in his right. Shehu small, meaning not in his right, but his stronger hand. Shehu small kol adam. So Mechaber says, some people say. So is that the rule? Is that what we do? Is that just, what do we do with this information? So when you read the Mechaber, you're expecting him to bring another Shita. Meaning, Yesh Mishaymer X, and others say Y. But that's the whole thing. It's just Yesh Mishaymer. What do you do with that? So the assumption would be is that that's the way we paskin. That what a lefty holds the cup in his left hand. And this is very negay. Every lefty who makes Kiddush, every lefty who gets a kibbutz, whatever it is. So I was at this chasana the other night, so the guy who got one of the brachas came over to me afterwards. He said, Oyvei. He said that the Masada Kedushin gave me the card with the bracha in my right hand. So I had to hold the cup in my left hand. He said, don't worry, you still get to the bracha. That's okay, don't worry. But lechatchila, we try to hold the cup in our right hand. But if I said, are you a lefty? He said, no, he's not a lefty. He said, okay, so it doesn't help. But if you're a lefty, then you should hold the cup in your left hand, and you would hold the card in your right hand, whatever it is. But if you take a look over here, so that's what we'll assume is kashal bracha. That means every time you make Kiddush, every single time you make Abdullah, every single time Dal Kaisis, kashal bracha, you get a kibbutz, whatever, you always should hold it in your right. If you're left, you hold it in the left. Yeah.
What is it, for instance, with the tefillah, like somebody who usually they say if you, I mean, not to the lefty, but if you're right with the right hand, then it's...
Maybe. Again, I'm bedafka trying to keep it vague for a lot of reasons, but I'm talking, I mean, everything we've been talking about lefties are what I call real lefties. They do roiv malachta, if not all malachta, with their left hand. The complicated cases are the does this, and he does that, and he writes, and he types, and he punches his brother with this, and you know, then it already gets more complicated. Each case, we bedafka skipped over, we quoted it, I'm sure everyone remembers in the first year, who knows how long ago, but we quoted the Mechaber HaMachoikis, he had two shitas with the Ramah, what is the deciding factor, is writing the deciding factor, is not, it is definitely much more complicated than that we're going to cover. Now, if we'd stop right here, what would we see from here? That when it comes to Kosher Bracha, it depends if you're a righty or lefty. Now let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the Lulav. Lulav, not so far off, the Yom Tov Sukkis. Which hand do we hold the Lulav, which hand do we hold the Esrig? So Shulchan Aruch writes in number 20, Yita Lahaguda Biyodeh Hayimonis. You take the whole bundle. The bundle means the lulav with the hadasim and the aravis. Roshehem lamalav ikrim lamata. You have to take them the way they grow. That means you have to make sure you're taking them, the roots are on the bottom and the stuff is on the way up because it has to be the way it grows. The esrig bismoilis. And the esrig goes in the left hand. Why? Why is lulav in the right and the esrig is in the left? So we'll see. The answer is probably because the lulav has more mitzvahs in it. It has lulav, hadasim, and haravis. Esrig is only one mitzvah. These are three. So three goes in the more chash of a hand. Great. So what happens if you're a lefty? What do you do now? Take a look at number 21. Machaber writes, again, so for a righty, we hold the lulav in our right hand, the elder esrig in our left hand, because the lulav has more mitzvahs in it. What about if you're a lefty? Writes the machaber, iter, if a person's an iter, noita lulav b'yamin kol adam. He takes the lulav in his right hand, like everyone else. The esrig b'smol kol adam, and the esrig goes in the left, like everyone else. The bas yamin u'smol de alma azlina v'le basa yamin u'smol di day. We go by the world, we don't go by you. All of a sudden, lefties become second-class citizens. Normally, we keep on saying, well, it should depend. What's my story? Again, what's the reason? The reason why is the more chashiv a hand gets more mitzvahs. So for the lefty, his left hand is more chashiv, so you would think he would get the left hand. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no. Lefties put lulav and esrig in their right hand, in the right hand like everyone else. Comes along the Ramah. V'yeshayimim da'azlin ambasi yimin didei. No. I disagree. Some people say no, that lefties also use their left. V'yeshlito halulav b'yimin didei, v'esrig b'smol didei, v'chein nagu, v'chein ikr. Wow. Right, the Ramah, that's the practice, and that's the way it should be. The way it should be is that a lefty should take the lulav in his left hand, and a righty should take the lulav in his right hand. Then the Ramah just concludes, v'im heipach yotz. First of all, it doesn't really matter that much, because you'll be yotz either way. If a lefty puts in his right, whatever, either configuration, as long as everything is the straight way up, you'll be yotz. But again, lechatchila. Guy spends enough money on his lulav and esrog, he wants to be yotz in the mitzvah, at least lechatchila. So it comes out like this. If he's a lefty, according to the Ramah, he should put the lulav in his left hand, and the esrog in his right hand. If he's a svardi, maybe, we didn't finish yet, maybe he should keep the lulav in the right and the esrig in the left.
And a lefty reverses the hadasim and aravos?
No, that he does not. It keeps everything the same.
Ends up next to hadasim.
Right, he does not reverse the order, if I'm not mistaken. I don't believe so. I have to double check when we get closer to the circus. I'm almost positive he does not reverse the order of the hadasim and aravos. I think so. Now there's a problem over here. Shouldn't this be a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch? When it came to holding a kosher bracha, the mechaber said, lefty goes to the left hand. And now all of a sudden when it comes to lulav and esrog, all of a sudden the mechaber says, no, lulav and mechaber, no, lulav keeps it like everyone else. Why the discrepancy all of a sudden by lulav?
It's a mitzvah with the lulav. It's still a mitzvah. It may not be the more...
Again, but why would you not, meaning if the mechaber is open to the idea of...
No, my kosher bracha, yeah. Only have one, it's one kos. Here right. Two meaning. Yeah, so you're right, it's not the esrog, but at least you have the lulav.
No, but the question is, if you see from there that we do work with your left becomes the world's right. So if your left becomes the world's right, so it should work like that for lulav also. Now, the truth is, the question is even more complicated. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number 22. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, why do we go based on the world? I mean, what's pshat in the Mechaber? The Mechaber says that by lulav, lefties and righties are the same. What happened to all these shurim that we've been having? Writes the Mishnah Berurah, the davka tefillin shehu deraisa iter ozel basi yimin didei. He says it's only by tefillin because the Torah says so. The Torah says lefties are different than righties. Avolulav dinitilasa b'yamin hu derabbanan mishum chashivusa ba'alma. But it says this whole thing about which hand to hold the lulav. That doesn't say in the Torah which hand to hold the lulav. That's a rabbinic din. Then the yesh batilsa mitzvahs iter hu kecholodom. Then we say an iter is like everyone else. V'tam hayesh oimim. And what's the reason for the Ramah? The Savad Azlina Basa the day, Kamay Bitfilin. The Ramah perhaps is the more logical one. He thinks that we learn from Tfilin that lefties have a chashivas to the left hand, so we apply to all mitzvahs. Ken, not the shaking is the Rabbanim. Which hand is the Rabbanim? The Torah doesn't say which hand to put the loven. So Frek the Magen Avram, 1 second. Now we have a bigger problem in the Mechaber. What's the Mechaber's rule of thumb? Anytime the issue is a rabbinic issue, lefties and righties are the same. Holding a Koshal Bracha, that's a Din D'Oraisa. That's a Din D'Rabbanim. Which hand to hold a Koshal Bracha can't be a Din D'Oraisa. And yet, what did the Mechaber tell us? That when it comes to holding a Koshal Bracha, lefties hold it in their left hand. That's a stira. Again, now according to the way the Mishnah Berurah explained, it's based on the Magen Avraham. That the reason why the Mechaber holds a lefty puts a little in his right hand, because anytime the issue is rabbinic, lefties and righties are the same. And holding a Koshal Bracha is not rabbinic. Of course it's rabbinic. Which hand you hold a Koshal Bracha, of course that's only the Rabban. So why does the Mechaber write that when it comes to Koshal Bracha, lefty holds in his left hand? That's the Magen Avraham's kash. It's a very strong kash. Right, so Magen Avraham number 23. Tzarachin. The Besim Metafresh and Aleph Sosam HaRab Bes Yosef Dazin Abasim in the Alma. Why? Because the whole way, which way to hold the lulav is only midrabban. The kosh in hacha, the kosher bracha ikra midrabban. The whole kosher bracha is only midrabban. The yeshlanu leilich basi min da'alma. So why should it be different? So frek the magen avraham, a very strong stira. If the rule of thumb is anytime the thing is rabbinic, not the mitzvah is the rabbanon, the din of which way to hold it is the rabbanon, lefties and righties are the same. So why, when it came to Kaishal Bracha, does the Mechaber say that a lefty should hold the cup in his left hand? Writes the Magen Avraham, Ube emes b'shibuli leket shalfanein olekas of klum izeh b'rech zamozen. The gavadol of posak litol b'min da'alma. Einshem. V'ulai eze posik achar posak kein b'rech zamozen. U'mikom okam nirli lino kein. K'moshikas of ramo gavadol of. Writes the Magen Avraham, I don't really know what to say for the Mechaber, but I'm telling you what we do. We follow the ramo. And therefore, we hold that a lefty should taka hold a lulav in his left hand. Halacha l'maaser. Not like what it says in the Mechaber. Again, the Ramah says like that. But how can we miyashiv the Mechaber? So listen to the Kaf HaChaim, an amazing shtick of Kaf HaChaim. This is very negay if you're Sephardi, I think. If you're Sephardi, you got to figure this stuff out. Us Ashkenazim, we don't have such a problem. We have a Ramah. The Ramah says that a lefty holds it in his left hand. But what about if you're Sephardi? So if you're Sephardi, you'd say to yourself, when I bench, I hold it in my left hand. But when I do lulav, I hold it in my right hand. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you're a very Shulchan Aruch based Jew, comes along the Kaf HaChaim with a gavalde gechap. Writes the Kaf HaChaim, V'hod ikos of zeh morin b'Shulchan Aruch b'shem yesh mishoimer. He says, why does the Mechaber call it a yesh mishoimer? He says, because he's just throwing it out there. He really knows that we don't follow that. He knows what he wrote in Hilchos Lulav. And in Hilchos Lulav, he says, lefties and righties are the same. He's just saying, there's someone who says that. But not that we really paskin like that. Which means, according to the Kaf HaChaim, it comes out that lefties should taka hold the Koshal Bracha in their right hand. In their
left hand.
No, in their right hand. In their right hand, like lulav. Amazing. It's amazing Kaf HaChaim, how to read that into the Mechaber. That when the Mechaber says, Yesh Mishoimer, he wasn't saying it, and that's what you should do. He was saying, there's such a shita out there, but I don't agree with it. How do you know I don't agree with it? Because look what I wrote, Hilchos Lulav. And Hilchos Lulav, I say, the lefties and the righties are the same. So that's what I hold for Koshal Bracha also. So lefties really got to figure out, if you're a Sfardish a lefty, you really got to figure out what you're doing. If you're an Ashkenazi lefty, it's easy. Ashkenazim lefties are going to shake lulav with their left hand, and then they're going to make a Koshal Bracha with their left hand also. It's much easier if you're Ashkenazi. Writes to Aruch HaShulchan, number 25. He writes over here, V'yesh oimim de'itur yad noite gechol odom halulav b'yamin da'alma shu smol de'dei v'esek smol. He writes, "Yeshayim the ina kein al noit alov biyamin shaloi shu small kol adam v'chein aminik v'chein ikel ladina." He says, "No, that's where we paskin. K'may betfillin v'chein pasuk harosh." And then he writes like that again. Halachol ma'is as Ashkenazim, we paskin like the Ramah. V'chein haminik, like exactly what the Ramah says. Meaning, don't be choishish for the mechaber, because when it comes to lulav Ashkenazim, follow the Ramah, lulav in the left hand. However, it's interesting. The Kaf HaChaim writes. The Kaf HaChaim writes over here that Svardim should be machmir for the Ramah. And what should they do? They should take both ways. They first take it one way, and then at some point switch it to the other way. And he writes, that's what you should do. He says, first time you should do it like the Ramah. And then, whatever, first one way, but you should taka, if you're a lefty, at some point you should make a switch over and switch the lulav to the other hand. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan sounds not like that. The Aruch HaShulchan sounds like you don't have to bother, because Aruch Ashkenaz and Paskim, left hand, and you don't have to worry to switch it over. Take a look over here, number 27, from the Aruch HaSaben, from the stipler. If you remember, we mentioned way back that the stipler was a lefty. And when he remembers, we mentioned the stipler was a lefty, and that's why he told us that when he used to hold his tzitzis, when he would say Kriya Shema, he would hold them in his left hand, and he used to put his right hand over his eyes, even though he had tefillin on his right hand. I'm sure we remember that from a few weeks ago. Listen to this. My Rebbe, the stipler, was a lefty, and he would put tefillin on his right arm. But when he took lulav, he'd put the lulav in his right hand and the esrig in his left hand, like the rest of the world. Gam kishim mevarach bebeis ubenanurum. When he'd make the bracha in the house, and when he would shake the lulav, he always had the lulav in his right hand and the esrig in his left hand. Now that should jump out all of us and say, what? The stipler? The stipler was an Ashkenazi. He wasn't a Sephardi. So he read the Ramah like we read the Ramah. He saw the Aruch HaShulchan like we saw the Aruch HaShulchan. And there it says very clearly that lefties should hold the lulav in their left hand. So why would the stipler hold the lulav in his left? Why would he put the lulav in his right hand? So v'shalu b'nai ha'genib chayim kenevski shlita. Now it's Zatzal. Haloi ha'gamo v'habi poiskim soivim sh'ita yita lehepach. So the Chaim Kenevsky asked his father. He said, Dad, what happened to the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch? Why are you following the Mechaber? Very strong question. Listen to what the stipler told him. He told Chaim, this is what I did when I was a little boy. And like the Mechaber says, he told him, this is what he did growing up as a kid. He had, I guess, a tradition growing up as a kid that lefties don't follow the Ramah, and instead they follow the Mechaber, and they follow the Mechaber, and they take should put the lulav in their right hand. Now the problem with this is that we have a hard time understanding the Mechaber. Besides for that, it's so strange that an Ashkenazi wouldn't follow the Mechaber, but we have such a difficulty understanding the Mechaber because it seems to be a stira to what he wrote in Hilchas Kaishal Bracha. But that's what he told him, Chaim Kenevsky. He said that's why he did it. Then he writes something even more amazing. He told him, yeah, because also based on Kabbalah, the Zohar, Kavachaim writes it also, the Api Zohar, even a lefty should hold the lulav in his right hand. Okay, so that's, again, this is important. If you're a lefty, so do you follow the Aruch HaShulchan or do you follow the stipler, Al-Pi Zoya? And then he says, a whopper of a chiddush. V'chein oyme moivi rebi oy tames b'mordchai hasova shehir gelias iter ein adina ki iter. He says, you remember that Mordechai we had on our first year? We had a Mordechai that had a shayla. What happens if you train yourself to be a lefty? If you train yourself to be a lefty, are you still considered a lefty? So the Mordechai had two opinions, whether or not if you train yourself. Says the stipler, Rebbe Harogalius Iter Etzba Biyamin. The stipler was a self-made lefty because he had some issue with a finger. So therefore he wasn't really convinced that he was a real lefty. So since he wasn't really convinced that he was a real lefty, he took the lulav in his right hand. Now what's the obvious problem with this story?
It's not what he answered.
Well, he gave us three answers. One answer he said because that's what he saw growing up. Right. Second answer he said because I'll pick a ball. And his third answer was because he wasn't sure he was a full-blown lefty. I got a problem. He put tefillin on his right arm every single day.
Right.
That's way more important. We learned, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that if a lefty puts tefillin on the wrong arm, it's not yoytzeh. So if the stipler was choshish that he wasn't a real lefty, don't you think he would have put tefillin on the other arm? So he writes over here, he says, Zet Tzorachin. First of all, if you remember, we had a dogma revolver. The Targum Rivava said that even according to the Mordechai, if a person trains himself to be a lefty because of a medical issue, not just because he's bored one day and wants to see, can I become a lefty? But he has it, taka, an issue. So then everyone agrees he's for sure a lefty. So it sounds like the stipler had a medical issue that forced him to become a lefty, not just because he wanted to be the pitcher who was left-handed. And then he asks Arkasha. And then he says, and he thinks that that wasn't the real reason. The stipler just threw this out to pile up reasons. But really, really, the stipler held that a lefty should take the lulav in his right hand. So, halacha l'maaseh, what do we do? I don't know. Lefties, I guess, doesn't hurt for a lefty to switch over at some point. But according to the Aruch HaShulchan, a lefty should take the lulav in his left hand. According to the stipler, he holds a lefty should take the lulav in his right hand. I don't know what people do today, I guess. doesn't hurt. You're holding it for so long. At one point you switch it and shake it, you'll be yotze according to all shittas. Okay, let's move on to the next page, and let's talk about another shayla that comes up. Which hand are you noifel when you do tachanun? Right, we know when we do tachanun, we discussed previous shurim, the halachas of tachanun, but when a person does tachanun, so we do what's called nefilas apayim, we fall on our arm. Which arm do we fall on? So it's interesting. If you take a look over here, number one on the page that says Iter Yad Balocha Chela Gimel. So you take a look over there in source number one, it says like this. Kishinoifal alpana, when we do nefilas apayim, no gulahatis al tzatzma. The Mechaber says you actually go on your left hand. Now here's the twist of irony. According to the Mechaber, you should go on your left hand whether you're wearing tefillin or not wearing tefillin. But Sfarim don't do this. So it's not really relevant for them. They don't do nefilas apayim. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes to do it like that. Shulchan Aruch says that if you do nefilas apayim, you should do it on your left hand. Comes along the Ramah, no. V'yeshayimim diyesh lahatis atzad yimin. No, you should do it on your right arm. Two shitas. Left or right. Comes along the Ramah with the famous Pshara. What's the Pshara? V'ikah lahatis b'shachrus kishyesh le'tfilin b'smayloi atzad yimin mishum kovet atfilin. So we do a Pshara. What's our Pshara? So when you're wearing tefillin and you're a righty, so then you put it on the other hand. If it's by mincha and you're not wearing tefillin, then you do it on your left arm. That's a pshara. There's two different shitas. In the Rishonim and maybe even earlier, it was either always left or always right. And we come up with this middle shita of depending on tefillin. Now, here's a great Ramah to remember. Writes the Ramah, Uba Arvis, if it's nighttime, Oikish ain le tefillin b'smol, you don't have tefillin on your arm, Yata atat smol, then you go on your left. So, what does he mean, Arvis? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, Arvis here means Mincha. We'll talk about that in a second. So this is one of those Ramahs I'd like to point out. There's another Ramah, which is actually the Ge'er to Elul, where the Ramah writes Arvis and he means Mincha. So here the Ramah says Arvis, he doesn't mean Ma'ariv, because we don't do Tachanun by Arvis, he means Mincha. Where is there another place? Not by the Dovah, but by Shofar. The Ramah brings down from Rishonim, from the Rosh, from the Torah, that the Minig used to be to blow Shofar, Shachris v'Arvis. They used to blow shofar both in the morning and nighttime. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that we never blew shofar b'layla. Arvis didn't mean nighttime. Arvis meant mincha time. Right? In Washington Heights, they blow shofar by mincha. But they're machped to finish mincha before shkia. But we don't blow twice a day. We blow once a day. But in the Rishonim, when they record the practice, they write to blow twice, shachruz v'arvis. Same lashon, shachruz v'arvis. Nighttime? After shkia?
Yeah,
Mamish? Really?
Sure.
But the Shabbos they blow? Really? I found in they quote in Prague they used to blow Matzah Shabbos. The Yakisaka blow Matzah Shabbos?
Yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Okay. And I remember we did this sugya once a few years ago. I don't remember coming across that. They take a blow every night they blow by Ma'ariv?
We have in our shul, we have a special Minhag Ashkenazi, really.
Yeah.
Well, for Motzei Shabbos only, though.
So only Motzei Shabbos they blow.
Well, we have that minion on me, but I'll check my son.
I saw quoted in Prague. I saw the quote in Prague. They used to blow the shofar Motzei Shabbos in Prague. But I thought, even the Yekis, I thought they blow by Mincha, not by Ma'ariv. I guess, again, there's different sects and parts of Germany, so it's hard to label all Yekis in one group. But in any case, so that's another example with Ramor, right? Arvis. What? Right, so Svardim blow during Slichas, right. Svardim blow the Shofar during the Slichas.
I'm saying the Tefillah, I'd say, it's a Tefillah of Payim,
Night. Right, so that Nefillah of Payim, we taka do it, it's because it's after Chatzos. That's because it's after Chatzos.
Uh-huh.
So after Chatzos, the Mishnah Berurah says, you can say Tachron. That's always the problem, we spoke about this many times, that's the controversy with the early Slichas. If you're going to call Slichas for 10 o'clock on Matzah Shabbos, you can't say Tachanun at 10 o'clock. And part of our Slichas has the Tachanun in it. It has Tachanun, as you give Momit, there's a bunch of other things that are problematic. But we discussed that other years. But the Mishnah Berurah says very clearly, you can't say Tachanun between Seisek Echavim and Chatzos. After Chatzos, you could say Tachanun. So if you're going to daven Slichas after Chatzos, so you're okay. If you're going to daven 10 o'clock, so again, it's not the end of the world. You can just skip the Tachanun part. Not saying it's terrible.
Could that apply?
Meaning the Arvis meant after Chatzos?
Yeah, the Arvis means like not.
Meaning after Chatzos?
Not.
I guess, maybe it meant after Chatzos. It sounds like Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that he assumes that Shofar should never be blown at nighttime ever. It's midas had. It's midas. Nighttime is midas rachamim. Shofar is midas. Nighttime is midas hadin. Shofar is midas rachamim. The two should never combine. Even though pashtus shofar and elul is not really anything. Shofar and elul is absimitic. That's why we don't say Yidgimel Midas either. Because Yidgimel Midas is supposed to be Rachamim and Laila is Din, right? Right? Same thing, same idea, right? In any case, so the Ramah is very clear that what? That when you're in a regular situation, so a right-handed person has the tefillah on his left arm, he does the tachanun on the right arm. Now, it's interesting over here to note that, again, the Mishnah Berurah quotes over here that we follow this Ramah. We follow this Ramah based on the Taz and the Magen Avraham, but the Goyin disagrees. The Vilna Goyin held, like the Machaber, that every time you say Tachanun, it's always on the left arm, even by Shachos. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes over number two, Sivkot Nevavi writes, Vo'iker, V'chein Das HaTaz U'Magen Avraham She'in L'Shanas M'Minegzeh. We stick with the Ramah. What was the Ramah? The Ramah was the Pshara. That what? If you're wearing Tefillin, you always go to the other arm. If you're not wearing Tefillin, then you go on the left arm. V'chein Nogu Oil. That's what the world does. V'afilu L'Hagrod D'Sava D'Iker K'Machaber D'Taman Asmol. And even according to the Vilna Goyin, that holds that you always fall on your left arm. Right, Mr. Brewer. However, if you daven in a shul, and I would say today most of our shuls don't follow the gra, then you're not allowed to follow the gra because of loisis kaididu. Last week's parsha. You're not allowed to have divisions, and therefore paskas Mr. Brewer. That if, even if you're a gronik, and you find yourself in a regular shul, you may not fall on your left arm during shachas. But the next week, we'll see what Rabbi Soloveitchik held about this halacha. And we'll talk more about that in Mitzvah Shem next week. So next week, I have a shtickle problem. I have a chasana on Tuesday night. So we have a choice of either doing the shir Monday night, but Monday night's Labor Day. So it could be people are going to be away. I don't know if people want to come Monday night.
Or maybe Wednesday night.
Or we could do it Wednesday night. So, right, we can either do it Monday night or Wednesday night. It's really all the same to me. But whatever the Olam wants, I can't do Tuesday night. I have a chasana. But it can either be Monday night or Wednesday night. It's all the same to me. After that. Okay. We'll leave it at that. Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick it up from where we left off in Mitzvah Shem next week.
Hey, you know why?